Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of coming and sharing with you this morning. And thank you, Matu Tom, is it? For Kari and Mai. It actually took me back to a Christmas celebration we were having in Kolkata, in Freeset, as we were working there some years ago. And I was asked to sing How Great Thou Art, not in English, but in Bangla. And I sang through How Great Thou Art. And in front of me were the workers of Freeset and many visitors. And even though some of the foreigners that were there couldn't understand what I was saying, they heard the tune and they celebrated. But the people that I was singing to, the workers of Freeset and such, they understood the words, but it didn't relate to them at all. So at the end of singing that, I then sang a song which they had written, talking about Jesus. And in the tunes that they have, and the whole meeting came alive, because not only did those that were hearing understand the words, they understood the spirit behind it because of the tune. Thank you for that reminder, Matu Tom, for me today. Royden said that we've been working in overseas for over 40 years. I actually went to Baptist College in 1970 to train as a Baptist minister here, to work here in New Zealand. And it was at the end of my first year that in my quiet time, in my prayer in the evening, one evening, I was praying and reading through Philippians chapter 3. And I came to verses 10 and 11, and it said that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and share in your suffering, becoming like you in your death, that if possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. That was what Paul was writing. And that was what Paul was saying to Jesus. And I said, God, I want to know you. I want to know you more. And so I had an audible reply. When God said to me, if you want to know me, come with me overseas. And that's why I changed direction in my studies to go overseas. Yep. We served overseas, and as part of serving overseas with the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society was to come home every now and again and tell you what we were doing on your behalf and what God was doing because you had sent us. And one time when we were home, I was speaking in Ipuni Baptist Church in a BMF meeting. As I finished, an older lady came up to me. And she said to me, "Do you know that you are the answer to your grandmother's prayer? Your father's mother's prayer?" I never knew my father's mother. She died in 1932. But this lady, this woman that spoke to me, she was a young girl at that time, at that stage. And her mother used to take her into a haberdashery shop. Yeah. That's dating me, isn't it? Into a haberdashery shop that my grandmother owned in Hastings. And every year my grandmother would give to this little girl a dress. Give it to her. And she would listen to her mother and my grandmother talking together. And my grandmother had said that she was praying that one of her descendants would serve God overseas. Think about it. She died in 1932. And here we were in the 1990s. She never saw the answer to her prayer. But God saw her prayer. As I was preparing for the mission field, I read Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." But you know, another translation that is a true translation of that passage is hold on to the faithfulness of God. Hold on to the faithfulness of God. Because God is faithful. Faithful to his word and faithful to his character. So let's read God's word. Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through to 8. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had been given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took them out of their sight. You know, often when we pray, we want to see immediate results. Lord, I prayed about that last night and I haven't got a result yet. And as we do our Christian work, we want to see fruit immediately. And we can become discouraged when we don't see the results that are promised. And yet this morning, I want to encourage you that God is working in ways perhaps that we don't know and have not seen yet. And in many times, the wonderful results are things that we won't see for some time. Perhaps like my grandmother, we won't see in our lifetime. When God invited me, and you know, we talk about being called. No, I talk about being invited by God. Because God's got a mission to this world. And he's given to this world, you and me, to fulfill that mission. So God is actually about his mission today, right now, in the lives of people here in Wainuiomata, here in New Zealand, and in overseas, in Bangladesh and India and China and in Sudan and in Kenya, and I could go on. God is at work. And every now and again, well, he invites us specifically to come and participate in that mission that he's doing. Brothers and sisters, I believe that all of us have that invitation. But for me, the invitation came when God said, if you want to know me, come with me overseas. And then he said, I want you to go and live in Bangladesh because that's where the New Zealand Baptists work. I don't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. But now I can't wait to get back there again next month. And while we were there in Bangladesh, God invited us to go and live in different places. And he invited us to live in Chanpur, and he invited us to live in Brahmabharia, and then he invited us to live in a slum in Dhaka. And to see what he was doing in the lives of people in that slum, because he was already there. And work with someone who was in that slum area to establish a church. But then God invited us to go and live in Kolkata. And I didn't want to go there either. Susan responded to the invitation about 2 years before I was willing to hear it. And she was patient and waited. until I could respond to the invitation as well. But, you know, God only asked us to go and live in Kolkata. We didn't know what we were going to do. And I spent 3 years wandering the streets of Kolkata. Before one morning, as I was walking through an area, God said to me, "Here is where I want you to come and live." It was a red light district. And I sat in a courtyard and said, "Here?" It's not because it was a red light district, it was Hindu. I was wanting to reach out to Muslims. And God replied, "There are 120,000 people here who do not know their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned for them?" It's what he said to Jonah. And so we went and lived there. Boy, I'm glad we accepted the invitation. 2 years after we'd begun to live there, or perhaps a little less than 2 years, we met a woman, a young woman, who was an orphan. And she was trained as a doctor, so she'd come to work in that area. She was a Brahmin. And through prayer, we were able to establish a business, Freeset. Not we, in terms of one person, but a team of us. And about 12 months after we started that business, Priya one afternoon, standing in the one of the rooms of the property or the factory that we were working in, trying to solve a problem, looked at a picture on the wall of Jesus of the Sacred Heart. Now, do any of you know that picture? It's Jesus standing there with his heart open. And she said to this picture, "Jesus, don't know who you are, but these crazy people, whenever they've got a problem, they pray to you and they ask you for help. We got a problem. We need your solution." And within that afternoon, she had the solution to her problem. So she came to us and asked for a Bible. "I want to read about this Jesus." And then, after reading about this Jesus, she came in and kind of broke down the door of Kerry and Annie Hilton's flat, saying, "I want to be baptized." What does it mean? "But I want to be baptized." And so Susan had the privilege of sharing with her. You know, at her baptism, she said this. She said, "4 years ago, a God whom I did not know caused me to come and live in this place so that I could know him." God invited us to go and live in that place. because he was already there and already had called others to be there through various circumstances. So that they could know him. And so my first question to you is, where is God inviting you to today? Know that he's already there. But I used to say that I am working for something that I will not see in my lifetime. And I could say it simply because I believed that all I needed to do was to hold on to the faithfulness of God, that he would fulfill his mission. Susan and I were back there back in Kolkata last November. And we went to church. In the Carey Baptist Church that William Carey built back in 1809. And it's mainly an English congregation, but there is a small Bengali congregation there. When we first went to Kolkata in 1999, we went to that Bengali fellowship. Often there was just three of us. And, you know, you count Susan and I, that means there's only one other. The Carey Baptist Church wanted a Bengali fellowship, so that's what we began to participate in. As we walked into the church on the Sunday morning, Susan counted 30 people in that congregation. 17 of whom were from Freeset, Love Kolkata Arts, and the Loyal Workshop. Workers in those places. Who'd come to know Jesus because some New Zealanders, well, first, because the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society and the New Zealand Baptist Churches believed that God was calling us back to Kolkata to work there. And then, because a group of people were willing to accept the invitation of God to go and do what you were asking us to do, to follow God's will. And they established small businesses. But the real goal was the women to whom they ministered. Up the front of that building that day, that hall that day, was a woman who was from the Loyal Workshop, and she was leading the worship. And in fact, the women, the whole of that service was taken by the women from Freeset, Love Kolkata Arts, and from the Loyal Workshop. 17 of them. And as we went back to Rambagan, Shonagachi that day in a bus, those girls, I've got to call them girls, they sat on the bus singing hymns in Bangla while all the other passengers on the bus listened to them, and some of them tapped to the tune and clapped their hands to the tune, and so they were singing worship to the Saviour whom they had come to know. We went there, We thought about going there in 1996. We went to live there in 1999. I'm talking 2023. God is at work. It's just sometimes he may take a little longer than we would hope. Hold on to the faithfulness of God. On a previous visit, I walked into the same hall. There weren't as many. But over in the corner, sitting as if she didn't feel as though she was quite allowed to be there, was one woman, and I looked at her face and I thought, I know you, but I can't place you. And right through the service, I sat thinking, who is that woman? And at the end of the service, I was talking to someone else, and that woman stood up and made a beeline to me. And as she came across, I realized who she was. She said, do you know who I am? And I said, yes, you're JKU. You know what JKU means?
Yes.
Yeah. Whosoever. You see, she was one of the workers in one of the businesses that we started, and we would sing every morning, and we'd have devotions, and one of the songs that we sang was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him. We sing it in Bangla. And as we sang that song one morning, JKO said to me, who's JKO? Her real name is Sovita. She said, who's JKO? I said, it's you. And so from then on, whenever we met, that was the name for her. When we left Kolkata, go back to Bangladesh and come on to New Zealand, she was nowhere near the church. But that day, she was sitting over there and knowing that Jesus did welcome JKO for eternal life. All because we answered an invitation from God to know him, to grow in him, and to go and live and to do what he asked us to do. When Jesus left his disciples that day, he said, don't sweat your head about the time, because that's what they wanted. Hey, it's the right time, Lord. Let's set up the kingdom. We've got the victory, so let's take it and proclaim it and set it up. And Jesus said, don't sweat your head about the time. That's my Father's business. He knows the time. Go and do what I ask you to do. They didn't know what they were getting into. If you read through the Acts, that's only 30 years of the first history of the church. But boy, if you read through what they did in answer to that invitation in the first 7 centuries, it's incredible. But God still got that invitation to you and me. Anywhere in the world. Back in 2022. I was in Dhaka again, in Bangladesh. And I decided to go and visit the Bangladesh Baptist Church Fellowship office on a spur of a moment and decision. And as I walked in there, who should be there but Isaac? Now, Isaac was the son of a Muslim convert from Brahmanbaria. So I knew him, and we sat down and talked and asked where he was, what he was doing, and so on. And, well, back in 1986, the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society worked in Brahmanbaria. It's one of the, it's in the northeastern side of Bangladesh. We've been there since the 1890s, isn't it? We preached all around the area, and we preached in a village that was about 30 kilometres out of Brahmanbaria. During the monsoons, you have to travel there by boat. But we were preaching in that village. Our NZBMS team of local evangelists and missionaries combined. And several of the people in one village became believers in Jesus Christ, in Isa al-Moshi, as their saviour. One of those was a man named Don Mia. And Don Mia was enthusiastic, if you like, in his faith. And he would share the gospel with people around in the villages and suffered persecution for it. Don Mia's wife became a believer, and then their three sons became believers. And and so Don Mia sent his second and third son to the John Takel Hostel in Brahmanbaria for their education. Don Mia used to come with others every Saturday and spend the night in Brahmanbaria receiving teaching, and then would join in the worship on Sunday morning and then head out to the village. Well, in 1994, Don Mia died. The short illness. But on his dying bed, he said to his wife and his three sons, he said, "Don't bury me in the Christian cemetery here in Brahmanbaria. Bury me in our village, because that will say that we never left when we became followers of Isa al-Moshi. And it will be the foundation for a church that I've dreamed would be planted in our village." So that's what they did. Well, Isaac and his brother David, the two younger ones, went on in their study. Nassim, the oldest one, stayed at home in the village with his mother and fought or resisted all the relations that tried to take everything off them when Don Mia died. When Isaac and David graduated, Isaac went off to Dhaka and got a job. David went to medical college and became a doctor. And he's actually back in Brahmanbaria practicing even today. But they never forgot. Well, Isaac became the intermediary between New Zealand Baptists and the hostels in Brahmanbaria. He was the one that communicated between us. And the three brothers never forgot what their fathers wanted. Never forgot the vision of their father that a church be planted in Brahmanbaria, in their village, which actually is Chanpur, but it's not the Chanpur that we worked in. A small village. And so it's 3 years ago now. The oldest and the youngest said to Isaac, resign your job, come back to our village and plant a church. We'll support you. Now Isaac's now got a wife and two kids. We'll educate them as well. And so that's what he did. And here was Isaac and I sitting together and beginning to see how into the future we could see a church planted in the village that was dreamed about back in 1986. Awesome. Over that time, the NZBMS has stopped working in Brahmanbaria area. But there have been local evangelists working. And yes, in a village, in a town not far away, there is in between the two places, Brahmanbaria and Isaac's village, there is a church now. But over the years, some 300 people have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 300 in that area. But you know what the tragedy is? And the heart feeling that Isaac has, they haven't been discipled because there's been no one to work amongst them. So Isaac wants to reach those people. Some probably have gone back to their old faith. But 300 Muslims who have taken baptism and then just been left because we haven't had the workers and the organization to be able to reach out to them and disciple them. So Isaac and I sat together and began to plan something. Since then, Isaac has identified three places where there are followers of Jesus that have been taught and are keen to establish at least a Bible study, a regular Bible study, if we can continue to help them. It'll happen. Because God is faithful. Hold on to the faithfulness of God. And before I close, can I just say this? In 1982, The Bible was translated into Muslim language, Bengali. It's a slightly different dialect to standard Bangla. And out of that grew what is now a Bible college that has been a member of the Asian Theological Association, and it's a Bible college that I'm privileged to be in touch with. That church that in Brahmambaria, out of Brahmambaria, Boy Rob, was planted because of the teaching of that Bible college. Isaac's working with that Bible college to help those other centres. But again, we're short of workers, short of teachers. And we're going to employ a couple in the next little while. Before COVID, we had 600 students, Muslim background believers. Now there is some 200 who are studying the Word of God in the context of Bangladesh. 1982. And we're dreaming for 2030 for the graduation of students who are followers of Jesus. Awesome. Because of that Bible. I'm not going to go on. Have faith in God. Hold on to the faithfulness of God. I was talking, this is the finish. I was talking to an Albanian believer who is a theological professor now over in Australia, in Brisbane. And we talked through the Bible school and everything through an evening over a meal and so on. And as Van was leaving, he came over to me and he took me by my shoulders and he said, "John, persevere to the end. There will be many distractions, but persevere to the end." And that's what I'd like to say to you. God has invited every one of you to come and live here, because he wants to show you what he's doing in Wainui o Mata and through Wainui o Mata to the rest of the world. Hold on to the faithfulness of God and let him show you and let him do it. Accept the invitation that he gives you.